Welcome to
the Sharp Side Podcast. I'm your host, Chaz Barada, and we are breaking down UFC 273. And I'm joined by Nate Shepard, long time Sharp Side contributor. Nate, welcome in. And making his podcasting debut, my friend Jackie Stepp. Jack, you've been making me money. The UFC in London, you made me buckets of cash. So I thank you for that. But Jack, are we nervous for your first little go-around or what?
I have to be honest. Voice might be a bit shaky, really. I'm glad we turned the cameras off here because I've been nervous for the podcast, but I'm just hoping I could share some knowledge.
All righty. Nate, how are we feeling for UFC 273?
You know what? I'm feeling pretty good. Seeing the board pretty well. I'm just happy to be back. I feel like our OG listeners might remember me, but you know, if you guys have been around here.
This is all the way back to the SoundCloud days, man.
Oh, yeah. SoundCloud days, you know, yeah. Excited to be back on the pod for sure.
Some call them the lost tapes. But, hey, I've been away for a minute, so for that I apologize. For the people who do consistently listen, you know that I promise everything and just rarely ever deliver. So for that, I'm sorry. But more promising in the future. It's just been a busy start to the calendar year for me. So, but I think I found a way to get to a more like established routine. So I'll be trying to put together like football futures, and a lot of golf too, through like the summer as we lead up to, the fall. Before we get in to, we're going to start at the top of the main card and work our way down. But really quick, just going to toss it to our sponsor in Anchor. All right. Thanks to Anchor. Okay. So we're going to start with Alexander Volkanovsky, who's taking on the Korean zombie, Chan Sung Jung. Is it Jung or Young?
I think it's Jung. I've heard Jung.
Okay. Title fight for the featherweight division, right?
Yep. Featherweight.
And the Korean zombie steps in for Holloway. Mm-hmm. Let's see. The odds are, I'm slacking right now.
I'm seeing up to minus 700 on Volk.
Minus 700. Okay. So obviously a huge favorite. The total is at 4.5. Jack, I will let you start things off. Give me a handicap for this one.
So for this one, I'm going to start off and saying that I am pretty bummed that Max Holloway had to withdraw from this fight. I guess that honestly was quite a while ago. I think that had to do with one of the injuries he got in the Yair fight, which was definitely a war. But not as excited for this fight as the trilogy. This is the one that was supposed to take place actually when we were in Vegas, but it got pushed back since they couldn't sell that card quite as much. Had to go with that Masvidal-Covington rivalry. But I think it's a really bad matchup for the Korean zombie. I think Volk is just kind of on another level right now in the division, just with his cardio and his pressure and kind of his volume. I think it's kind of just going to be a tough night at the office for the Korean zombie. I also don't think that while Korean zombie does kind of have underrated grappling, I think it's going to be hard for him to take down Volk and especially keep him down and definitely not submit him after the performance we saw last time against Brian Ortega. I just think that within the featherweight division, kind of like Volk is really kind of in his own stratosphere and Korean zombie is a couple of levels below that. And we kind of saw after Volk put a beat down on Brian Ortega and Brian Ortega was able to outclass Korean zombie. I don't think he's going to stand much of a chance. Volk's not really one to finish people. So I think that it could go over the total. Korean zombie's best path to victory will probably be just forcing the issue and really trying to pressure him and kind of take a page out of Volk's playbook. He kind of has a reputation for unorthodox finishes. I know he got that twister a while back, the first one in UFC history, and he throws a lot of spinning attacks and elbows and whatnot. So I think kind of like a Hail Mary knockout is honestly his best path to victory.
Nate, what do you think?
Yeah, echoing everything Jack said, kind of bummed about a Holloway fight. I mean, you could definitely make the argument that Holloway won that second fight. I just don't see many paths to victory for the Korean zombie. If I had to pick a best bet, on this fight, I'm probably going to lean towards putting some money on Volk by KO, TKO rounds 1, 2, and 3.
Okay. Probably just I love me some round finishing, Nate.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially in a card like this when you got Aljo. I just think, you know, Korean Zombie's obviously known, you know, he doesn't get finished a whole lot, especially on the feet, but I feel like, you know, Volk's pressure and with Korean Zombie having to push the pace, kind of like what Jack said, it's just going to end up, you know, someone's going to have to catch a hand there, and I'm going to take Volk in a fist fight. So yeah, probably about quarter unit on each of those. I'm looking at, looks like round 3 is plus 1200. Round 2 is about plus 1000, and then round 1 is plus 800. So I'm liking something like that.
All right. I don't hate that at all. Time to move on to, this is a fight that I holds a very special place in my heart. Aljamain Sterling is plus 360 taking on Piotr Jan. Jan is minus 460, total is 4.5. Really quick story time about the last fight. So the last fight I was watching, the card with Nate, and I was just kind of messing around with like exact round, like, you know, finishes by sub, whatever. I think I had hit like 2 of 3 that I bet on. So I was just on cloud 9, and I bet Aljo, was it round 4 KO?
Yeah, round 4.
And it was 40-1, right? I think it was 40-1. And so,
it was like, you know, or something like that.
Yeah, it was a big payout. And so I'm standing there after he gets like the illegal knee when his knee was down. And, you know, I'm like, damn, you know, like, it's a bummer. It was, and like, I was just wasn't really paying attention, but I checked my, my bet slip again, and it was round 4 win by KO, TKO, or DQ. So because of that DQ, I hit a 40-1 ticket on Aljo, and I was like jumping up and down. I could not believe it. I was so excited. So I that's arguably one of the most lucky wins I've ever had in my entire gambling life. So I do not expect something like that again, but now like I'm a fiend for that kind of thing. So I just love the round specific finishes. So it's what I'm after now. But Nate, why don't you start us off? You are an Aljo. It might be an understatement to call you an Aljo fan, but you might be the only guy who even leans him in this fight. So tell me why.
Yeah, I am a self-proclaimed Aljo fanboy. I think I don't want to say I had any influence in you pushing that, but I want to say I did.
Absolutely, you did.
So yeah, I mean, if we look back at the last fight, obviously everyone's going to talk about how much Jan dominated, and we were kind of talking about this pre-pod, but you know, Aljo had his spots in that fight. Like, he definitely had chances. He definitely won the second round, debatably won the first round. So I think, and he just kind of gassed out towards the end. So I think it's going to be kind of a much more slower fight. I think you'll see Aljo kind of pick his spots, pick when he, you know, shoots, pick when he gets him on the ground, if he can get Jan on the ground. I'd be a fraud if I didn't bet Aljo here, especially at this number. So if I had a play here, I'm going Aljo by sub. It's at plus 750 on Bet Online. Or I don't know. Are we naming books, or do we have to be sponsored these days?
Nah, you're fine.
Yeah, I'm going Aljamain by sub plus 750. Just purely for my fandom. And you know what? He picked his spots. He had some shining moments in that first fight. So I think there's a shot. That's a crazy number.
Jack, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what Nate was saying. A lot of the troubles kind of Aljo ran into on the grappling department with Jan was kind of a result of him being tired from throwing so much volume in the first fight. They ended up at the end of the fourth round, Aljo and Jan ended up landing around the same amount of strikes, but Aljo threw like twice as many. I think he was somewhere around like 115 out of like 250. So his output was just crazy, way more than what he usually does on the feet, since he's usually able to control so many of the people on the ground. So the grappling stats ended up being pretty surprising. Jan went 7 for 7 on takedowns, but those were all kind of just like sweeps and trips that he landed when Aljo was out of position, out on his strikes, just kind of a result of him being tired. But I definitely Lin Yan in this fight. I just think he's better everywhere. He honestly, I think he's kind of underrated in the pound for pound rankings, and that was a lot just because of the illegal knee and him not having the undisputed belt. But I also agree with Nate that it should be a slower paced fight since they've seen each other before and kind of felt each other out. But I think that leans towards Yan to some degree, especially in the striking department. If they're at range and just trading, I would definitely lead to Yan. He's a much crisper striker and much more precise. So I could see Yan getting a finish, but I definitely don't hate the Aljo play, especially by sub. And I'm probably, just because Yan is so juiced, I'm probably going to put a little bit on Aljo as well.
So because this is a rematch, and like just because like of the way it ended, do you actually think? Well, so do rematches sort of beget slower paced fights? Like, are they like waiting to like? Do they need that feel out period? I guess is what I'm saying.
I think a lot of the times it depends kind of on the two fighters, but I would say a rematch and a championship fight, especially, I feel like they're going to be a little bit more, not necessarily timid, but just picking their spots a little bit more just because the stakes are higher and just they've seen each other before. But I think a lot of that also just has to do with the output of Aljo from the first one and not falling into that trap again.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Nate, anything else to add?
Yeah, no, I think Jack's right on that pretty much. You know, there isn't necessarily that feeling out process as much because they have fought each other before, but especially in this fight, I feel like Aljo is going to look to pick his spots more just because he did gas himself so quickly.
Oh, and then one more thing that I actually forgot. Is Jan's corner going to be there? I thought I saw something a couple weeks ago that they weren't going to be allowed to travel.
Yeah, I was seeing those stories too. I haven't really followed up with the news, but I was seeing all that he was like reaching out to like O'Malley and like Cejudo and stuff. I saw Cejudo responded and called Yan like a potato face or something and said he wasn't gonna push him. But yeah, that's triple C for you.
I'm gonna be in a real bad spot if O'Malley's in Yan's corner.
Fan. Oh yeah, right. I forgot you also love O'Malley too. But we gotta keep moving too. What I think, Khamzat's been my guy, so I'm very excited for this fight. I also just think Garrett Gilbert Burns is kind of a bum. But Khamzat Chimaev is minus 600, taking on Gilbert Burns, who is plus 400, so big dog there. Total is at 1.5, juice to the over. Jack, I'll start with you. You like Burns a little bit, right?
Yeah, I like Burns. It's really tough to tell with this fight to me. I think the odds are way too skewed towards Khamzat. We just haven't seen him tested to the level of like a Gilbert Burns. I know the Leech is a pretty formidable opponent, but Khamzat obviously had his way with him and he was ranked like I think 11th or something. And we're talking about like Gilbert Burns, someone who knocked down Kamaru Usman in a title fight like just under a year ago. And I think he was like a plus 200 underdog in that fight. So I feel like we're just getting a lot of value on Gilbert in this one. And he has some of like the highest jiu-jitsu credentials, like in all of the UFC. He's like a multiple time world champion in no gi and gi jiu-jitsu in various organizations or federations, whatever the correct term is. So I think Khamzat will be able to take him down. But we usually see Khamzat go for rear nakeds or ground and pound once he gets people down to the ground. And he does have very strong ground and pound and like an offensive submission game. But I think Burns should, with his jiu-jitsu credentials, should be able to defend the submissions and hopefully scramble out. And I think he does present trouble on the feet against Khamzat. He's definitely faced people with higher striking acumen than Khamzat has. So I just think the odds are just way too skewed for Khamzat. I think ultimately he probably will win. He's a lot bigger than Gilbert as well. That's something to consider. But I'm going to take my boy Gilbert Burns, the Dorino.
Nate, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of going to agree with Jack here. I feel like that number is just way too high, way too juiced for a guy that we haven't necessarily seen fight like a top-notch opponent like Gilbert Burns. Like, I feel like Khamzat is going to win this. I'm probably going to sprinkle a little something on Burns. I'm also considering looking at these numbers, sprinkling on some like Khamzat round 1, 2, and 3. Just because I feel like
what are those?
So okay, round one is plus 140, round two is plus 285, and then round three is plus 1,000. So like,
they really don't think it's gonna go to the third round.
Yeah. So like, I mean, by that number, you think he gets it done in round one or two, but like, I don't know. We haven't seen Khamzat in a late round situation, so it's kind of a crapshoot at that point. I feel like if it gets done inside the distance, it does get done in round one or two. By Khamzat, and if it goes to decision, I don't know, it'll be interesting to see. I just feel like that number is far too juiced for a guy of Burns's level. There's a lot of hype coming on the Khamzat train, so I don't know, I'm probably going to sprinkle a little bit on Khamzat round one, two, and three, and then I might put something a little on Burns, just plus 400.
Okay, so let me ask this, if you were making the line for this fight, what would you make it?
See, I feel like it's just very tough. Because, I mean, we know what Khamzat's capable of, but, like, he's still very much an unknown. Like, we know what he can do, but we haven't seen him against, like, top-notch opponents. So, like, I would say it's more, like, minus 200, something in that range. It's definitely not as skewed as it is right now.
Yeah, you're getting, like, Burns at plus 400, and when he was plus 200 against Usman, it's just – like such a drastic difference in value. And it's essentially saying like what you think Khamzat is twice as good as Kamaru Usman in a way.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well, and it's not like Burns had like a recent bad showing. Like he, you know, took Wonder Boy to decision, won by unanimous. So like, it's not like he's looked bad since the Usman fight.
That's fair. That's a good point. Yeah. 4-1, 4-1 is pretty big. So yeah. That does make sense.
I will say one more thing. Just kind of the clips I've seen on YouTube and on social media and stuff, and kind of like some of the tweets, just the stories of Khamzat training with Darren Till and like Sean Strickland and stuff. It sounds like he's really getting after it with those guys, and they fight at 185, so they're in an even bigger weight class.
Yeah, the guy's a freak.
No doubt.
To the ladies we go. Tisha Torres, minus 105, taking on Mackenzie Dern, who is minus 115. Total is at 2.5, heavily juiced the over at minus 200. Nate, I'll start with you. Who do we like and why?
Yeah, ladies fight. I'm always looking at kind of a overplay. Pretty rarely that you see, especially, you know, when you're not at the top notch of girls. See it going to decision a lot. Personally, I lean Mackenzie Dern, and I'm probably going to bet her by points. So just kind of to finish or to not finish. I don't really have much of a feel on this. I lean Dern. Tisha Torres is great. This will be a really interesting fight. But I think Jack's got a couple, you know, a lot of opinions on this one. So I'll throw it to him.
Let's hear it.
Yeah. So obviously Dern, very highly credentialed in jiu-jitsu. She has a really big advantage on the ground. So I think if it gets there, the fight will end pretty soon after that. I don't think Tisha has much of a defensive jiu-jitsu kind of approach to combat what she's going to be faced with. Really, the only question is, will Mackenzie Dern be able to take Tisha Torres down? But she's had some struggles in her last couple fights with offensive wrestling. But her last fight against Marina Rodriguez, that's a tough fight. I think she's on her way to potentially a title shot or becoming champion. That's a debate for another time. But I think Dern she's a lot bigger than Torres. So if they can get in kind of a clinch situation or up against the fence, I think Dern will be able to get her down at some point. And then I'm looking for Dern by submission at that point. She's minus 110 on the money line. I don't think that's a bad bet at all. I would probably take that for maybe two units and then sprinkle a little bit on Dern by submission.
All right. Any other thoughts? I've seen like your some of your notes here that she's coming in on a, like, after fighting a bunch of people, the Andrade, Joanna, Wei Li, and then Marina Rodriguez. I didn't realize that Torres lost to Thurgoes either. Do you think she might, there's a chance she's undervalued here and that it's not properly priced in?
Yeah, like that's not a terrible angle. They're just like such different like types of fights. Like she kind of got outclassed on the feet by all those people, like Joanna, Wei Li, and Thug Rose especially. And Dern is gonna try to take it to the ground. So it's just kind of like how they always say styles make fights, just kind of a different approach.
Okay.
And Tisha is kind of like wrestling dominant at times, and all those girls that we just mentioned that were like in the title picture and stuff and former champions just were defending takedowns really well against Torres.
All right. Is that the end of the main card? I think so, right?
I'm not sure what they're doing. There's a couple fights that got pulled and they've kind of been reshuffling. I think they've got Pichelle versus Madsen slated next, but I'm not sure if that's going to be on the main card or not.
I got that on pay-per-view.
Okay. So this is a lightweight division, Vince Pichelle versus Mark Madsen. Pichelle, if I can find it.
I got you. It's Pichelle minus 135, Madsen plus 115, total at 2.5, juice to the over.
All righty. Vince Pichelle, I don't know much about him, but it is a name I recognize, and that's all I got. Nate, what do you think?
It's probably a mustache that you recognize
too. Yep, that too.
You know, this is going to be an old man fight. Oh, man, what are the ages? It's,
I think, well, Madsen's Pichelle 37.
Pichelle's 39. So a couple old guys going at it. That's always kind of fun to watch. I don't know much about this fight either. I know Madsen's a wrestler and Pichelle's a striker, I believe, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, could be an interesting style matchup. Probably going to just lean towards Pichelle or I don't know. This is where I struggle. I feel like in these wrestlers versus striker matchup, I always lean towards kind of the wrestler. Cause once they got him down, they pretty much are able to keep him down. So I'm probably going to lean towards Madsen with points, plus 235. Yeah, that's probably where I'm going.
Undefeated, and Madsen's undefeated in the UFC, but it's not like he's faced the toughest competition either. Jack, what do you think?
Yeah, Madsen's really like kind of an interesting fighter. He got a late start to MMA because of his wrestling career. He in the 2016 Olympics, he won the silver medal in Greco-Roman wrestling. So he was primarily like concerned with developing his wrestling career over his MMA career, then transitioned there. And he's kind of had an odd career. He's not the most active fighter. And I think people are kind of selective in fighting him because he's not like highly ranked or anything, but he's a really tough fight since he has world-class wrestling. I just rewatched the Pichelle versus Gregor Gillespie fight, and Gregor Gillespie is another really talented wrestler, but he's like a more orthodox American wrestler, and actually like wrestles like in a different style. Like he's a freestyle wrestler, and the wrestling that Madsen won his silver medal in was Greco-Roman wrestling. So that's like all throws instead of takedowns. So like upper body stuff. So that actually allows Madsen to have this really kind of weird unorthodox clinch where he's hand fighting a lot with people up against the fence, and then he's throwing knees up the middle. So both of those guys, like Gillespie and Madsen, have like pretty similar credentials in wrestling. And Gillespie was able to totally dominate Pichelle, taking him down just time after time, then subbed him in the second round. Madsen doesn't have nearly as good as jiu-jitsu as Gillespie, but I still think he should be able to dominate at least the first and second round with his wrestling and just be in a dominant position and end up winning by points. So I agree with Nate. I think Madsen by points or by decision is a really good bet.
All right. What would that be? Madsen by points. Let me see if I can pull that up real quick.
Plus 235.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I'm a fan. I am a fan. And then just, he did have a first round, like 1 minute KO in his first UFC fight. So that's could be something to keep an eye on, but I also feel like it's just easy to defer to wrestling just because I feel like you get him on the ground and you keep him there, then you win the round. Just like similarly what Nate said. So
yeah. His last fight was kind of weird. He only shot one takedown attempt, but he was fighting Clay Guida. And like he has really good grappling too. So I think it was just the style matchup. I think this one he should look to exploit his wrestling advantage.
Got it. All right. Moving on to the prelims. And we've got Ian Garry, the future, in the welterweight division, taking on Darian Weeks. Jack, you seem to have an opinion on this before we kind of got going. So what are your thoughts? Actually, hold on really quick. Ian Garry's minus 400. Darian Weeks is plus 300. Total is at 1.5 juice to the over. Sorry, go ahead.
I think there's way too much hype on Ian Garry. That's where I'm sitting at right now.
Say the word, and I'm clicking plus 300 right now.
I'm saying the word.
All right.
I see some flaws in Ian Garry's game. His debut against Jordan Williams definitely for the first 4.5 minutes was not going as planned. Williams is kind of able to walk him down and land a lot of good shots, and it wasn't until the end of the round where Ian Garry put him out. He does have pretty heavy hands, but he kind of stands like straight up. So, and he's a taller fighter, so his like body shots and body kicks are open a lot of the time. And Weeks actually has like pretty solid boxing. I think if he lands some body shots and keeps like a forward pressure, like we kind of saw him in the Barbarena fight in his UFC debut, I think that could be a path to victory. Weeks also has pretty good offensive wrestling. I think he could take Garry down, but Garry has pretty slick ground game as well. So it could be another task to keep him down. But as long as he's, you know, going for takedowns, maybe getting him up against the fence, getting like one or two per round, or at least shooting, that looks good on the judges' scorecards. And I was really impressed with Weeks actually in his UFC debut. Like I said, he fought Brian Barbarena and was on 5 days' notice. And he lost the decision, but he dominated Barbarena in the second round and was able to showcase a lot of his boxing, landing a lot of good shots. And then, in my opinion, the first and the third round were pretty close, but I would also probably have given them to Barbarena. So I wasn't mad with the decision, but I thought Weeks had a really good showing, considering he was facing a pretty tough opponent in his UFC debut on short notice.
Nate, any thoughts here?
Not much. I'm not going to lie. Jack kind of stole me or sold me on Weeks. But, you know, Ian Garry at KO, TKO or DQ at plus 125 seems a little enticing to me. So not much here, but probably leaning towards Ian Garry by KO.
So I remember watching the Jordan Williams Ian Garry fight, and I was like convinced that Garry was just going to get knocked out in the first round. And so do you think I'm staring, like, do you think chin could be an issue? Cause I'm looking at Darian Weeks round one KO TKO DQ at 14-1, any value there?
I like that. He definitely gets hit a lot. He doesn't have, like, he's kind of fallen in love with his hands. I think that's kind of like, if you ask the kind of like the general UFC fan, they would think that Ian Garry is like kind of a master of striking, but he does have heavy hands, but he really gets hit a lot, and he doesn't have kind of the most like fundamental or sound striking. So I definitely do not hate that bet at all, and considering that Weeks pressures a lot.
All right, again, I think I found another bet. Like, really, the goal for me here is just to find something to sweat out in every fight. So we're off to a pretty solid start.
There we go.
Moving on to Jairzinho Rozenstruik, guy who's been around for a minute in the heavyweight division, taking on Marcin Tybura. Nate, I'll kick it to you. What are your thoughts here for this heavyweight bout?
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know. I feel like Rozenstruik has just like, people have almost forgotten about him. And it's, I'm not to say that it's kind of unfair, because he has, you know, what is that, 3 out of the last 6 he's lost. Granted, they were all to top notch heavyweight opponents, depending on how you feel about Curtis Blaydes. you know, Rozenstruik's got bricks for hands. There was a lot of talk with that Ngannou fight, like who was going to go down first. So I feel like this kind of Rozenstruik by TKO first round, you know, that just, it seems pretty juicy at me to plus 235. You know, if he's going to knock him out, he's going to do it early, because he's got a little bit of that touch of death in the hands. Yeah, I'll kick it to Jack here, because I'm sure he's got some more insight.
Yeah, I like the first round knockout bet. if we like we saw Sakai knock out Tybura pretty quickly when they fought, and Rozenstruik is definitely a far superior striker than Sakai. I also
Rozenstruik knocked out Sakai.
Yeah, there we go. MMA math.
Exactly.
But Rozenstruik, obviously very good kickboxer, 75 wins as a pro. I really don't think that Tybura poses much of a threat on the feet. So his best case would probably be trying to mix up his striking with his wrestling, but he really doesn't have that good of wrestling either. His takedowns are not that great. His last three wins are against Walt Harris, Greg Hardy, and Ben Rothwell. So he's not really fighting the stiffest of competition when he's winning. I think Rozenstruik should cruise to a win. I don't hate him as a parlay piece with someone else. I think I'm feeling pretty confident in Rose to get it done.
All righty. Moving on. Would you lay the -145 or whatever we were looking at earlier, just like as a bet on its own? I know you don't love betting favorites, but like, is that short enough to lay it?
Yeah, I would lay that. I was just checking where I was placing bets earlier, and they had it at -155. So,
okay,
I think -150 and probably under that. I think a straight bet on Rose is a good bet.
Sweet.
Honestly, that as a parlay piece, very nice. That was a good point, Jack.
Yeah.
All right. Aspen Ladd in the women's bantamweight division is taking on Raquel Pennington. Ladd is, gotta find it, +150. Pennington is -175. The over is heavily juiced, over 2.5, -325. Thoughts here, Jack?
I don't have too many thoughts on this one. Pennington is on a 3-fight win streak, but when you look at that overall win-loss record of 13-9, it's kind of ugly. Her last three wins haven't really been against anyone too good. I kind of just lean towards Ladd as an underdog. I kind of thought that this line would be closer. I don't have too good of a handicap for this one, but I think there can be some value found with Ladd in this spot.
All righty. Nate, you got anything, or can we move on?
No, actually, I kind of got something.
All right.
Believe it or not, I'm kind of leaning toward. I mean, this is a tough fight to cap. Definitely, I agree with Jack. You know, they both got a sub average above 7, and I'm looking at Ladd at +1400 at sub, and then Pennington at +600 at sub. So, I mean, if I'm going to bet anything here, I'm just going to bet them both to win a sub and hopefully one of them hits it.
it's a wild bet. Well, wouldn't that mean they're both good at wrestling? So wouldn't that cancel out a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, you could say that definitely, but you know, I'm liking those sub average numbers.
Okay. Something to look to. Maybe so saying if you like Ladd, look at sub, if you like Pennington, look at the sub.
Yeah. I mean, unless you want to bet, I mean, the way to bet this would probably just be to bet someone via decision, because it's probably going to that point. But if you're looking for something a little more juicy, that's what I would lean towards.
Market would agree with you too. Although it doesn't look like Ladd has won by decision all that much. So, and she's 2/3 of her wins have come by KO. So, well, no, could be interesting. Got me a little more interested in that fight. But moving on to, who's next?
Mickey Gall,
that's right. Mickey Gall is taking on Mike Malott. Malott -190. Under is juice this time, under 2.5, -170. Over is +140. Jack, I'll start with you. What do you think?
So when I was talking to my friend Christian this week, preparing for the pod, he made the comparison that Mike Malott is kind of like Terrence McKinney in a sense. This dude just hunts submissions, and he is just constantly submitting people under 2 rounds, under 2 minutes. Granted, it hasn't been against the best competition, but he's always looking to finish fights early with the sub. He's coming off a contender series win where a guy shot for a double leg, I think, and he was just able to kind of sprawl into a guillotine and finish that in like 39 seconds or something. I really hate to say this, but I think I'm betting on Mickey Gall in this fight. He is so bad, but I think that I think that he has the jujitsu to not get submitted in the first 2 minutes. And then Malat's cardio has just not been tested, and he's never fought anyone with kind of the experience and like grinded out mentality that Gall has. So I think that Malat, this is more of a bet on or like a fade of his cardio, but I'm hoping that he'll gas and be hunting subs, and then Gall will be able to wrap up a rear naked choke in the second round. That's my prediction.
All righty. Gall by sub is 4-1. All right, Vicky Gall. I'm always ready for a dog. Nate, anything here?
I just want to say I feel like I've been burned by Mickey Gall before, so I would really struggle betting him. Malat by sub round one plus 525 seems a little juicy. So probably take something like that. But, yeah, I don't know if I have the heart to buy or to bet Mickey Gall.
All righty. And after this, we get – is this Santos? And now we're in the early prelims. Okay. So we got Alexia Olenek versus Jared Vandera. It is close to a pick'em, where we've got Olenek is minus 113, Vandera is minus 107. Total is over 1.5, minus 105. So it's looking like it could finish a little bit early. Jack, what are your thoughts?
So this is a play with my heart. Alexia Olenek has probably made me like more money than any other fighter in the UFC. So I got to go with him, but he is 44 years old. He's looking for win number 60 in his MMA career. He could not be older going into this fight, and he could not be smaller. I think he's coming in around like 235, and Vandera is always pushing the heavyweight limit. So there's going to be just a huge mismatch in age and weight. Like, Olenek is much more skilled and much more talented, don't get me wrong, but I feel like at a certain point, weight and age has to make a difference. And Olenek has not been looking great as of late. But if this fight goes to the ground, it's over. Olenek's getting that Ezekiel choke. He's getting win number 60, and he's sailing off into the sunset.
Did he say this is his last fight or anything?
No, I haven't heard anything, but you got to think that the career's coming to a close when you're 59, 16, and 1, 44 fighting on the UFC prelims.
That's psychotic. Nate, thoughts?
Yeah, I just kind of want to echo Jack. This is definitely a bet with my heart. Probably Olenek, and I'll probably just take him straight up if I bet anything. This might be like a parlay leg for me if I'm watching that early. Yeah, I don't have much. Obviously, he's old, so, you know, cardio could be an issue.
I feel like the people who fight, goodness gracious, out of his 59 wins, he has 46 subs. That's insane. But he is on a 3-fight losing streak. Oof. This is tough recent form, I will say. But the guy just kind of looks old, too, which is a shame. Yeah. But
I think he kicked off our boy Yuri's run, I want to say. I'm not sure. Am I wrong in that?
I don't think they fought each other.
Yuri's at 205.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
So do you think this does end early? I feel like with someone like this old, it kind of goes, it kind of like lasts a little bit, but I just could be very wrong here. Any thoughts on a total?
What was the over under at?
1.5, overs minus 105.
Yeah, I like the under. Olenek, his chin was definitely tested, but in his like two of his last three fights, but that was against Dawkus and Lewis, so they're a lot better than Vandera. So that's always a risk, and he is just so old, so that's a concern, so much smaller. But I think Olenek could get a sub pretty quickly also. So I think both ways there's potential for it to end early. So I would probably lean that way.
All right. Moving on to Anthony Hernandez in the middleweight division, taking on Josh Fremd. Fremd is plus 155, Anthony Hernandez minus 180. Jack, thoughts here?
This is another one. I don't really have a good play for this one. I would like I was kind of earlier in the week, I was thinking about maybe using Anthony Hernandez as a parlay piece, but I just have a lot of unknowns with Fremd. I wasn't able to get kind of as deep into his game and my research as I would have liked. But Hernandez has a really slick ground game. He was able to submit Rodolfo Vieira in his last fight, which was a shock to everyone considering his level of jiu-jitsu. But that was a kind of a result of Rodolfo gassing. So I think I'm going to stay away from this one just because I don't know too much about Fremd. But like if I was just going off the top of my head, I would probably lean towards Hernandez subbing him.
Okay. Total is 1.5 minus 145. Any value there?
To the over?
Yeah.
To the under, to the under.
I don't hate the over there, but again, not a strong play. I don't really have too much for this fight.
Feel that. Nate, anything or are we moving on?
I'd probably lean over. A lot of unknowns, like Jack said, but yeah, I'm good. I don't have a good feel for this.
All right. Pierre Rodriguez in the women's straw weight division taking on Kay Hansen. Jack, it sounded like beforehand, this is one of your favorite looks. No, was I misrepresenting that?
No, I do like this one a good amount. This is kind of like the last fight I got to when I was kind of looking into the whole card. But
both about minus 110 here.
Yeah. But yeah, Rodriguez seems pretty interesting to me. She has really heavy hands for the division. Not a lot of knockouts at women's strawweight. But I just watched her title fight in, I forget what promotion it was. She fought for the belt in LFA, and she's fighting this one girl, I forget her name, but she was coached by Artem Lobov, that guy that's always hanging out with Conor McGregor, the former K1 kickboxer. So the chick she was fighting had pretty good kickboxing, and it seemed like Rodriguez was totally able to dominate her on the feet. She ended up TKOing her in the fifth round. She brings a lot of forward pressure, has really heavy hands. And Hansen, the girl she's fighting this weekend, is usually looking for the takedown. And Rodriguez seemed like really physically imposing for the division. I thought she was actually a 125er instead of a 115er. And so I think just from the physical standpoint, I think it'll be hard for Hansen to land a takedown. And if it's on the feet, I expect Rodriguez to kind of dominate this one and maybe run away with it.
All right. Rodriguez by KO is a plus 450. Is that worth a look?
For small, maybe. I think I'm just going to bet her straight.
Okay. Nate, thoughts?
I'm not going to give anything better than what Jack just gave. Usually in these strawweight women's fights, I usually just bet something like either the over or someone to, you know, win by points and decision. But yeah, it sounds like Jack's got a better hold on this game than, or on this fight than I do.
Sure. All right. Let's go. The last fight is Julio Arce. I'm taking on Daniel Santos in the bantamweight division. Line here is, if I can find it, Santos is plus 165, Arce is minus 190. Total is 2.5 juiced to the over. I'm minus 160. Jack, anything here?
I don't have too much for this one either. It's kind of similar to the Anthony Hernandez fight. Kind of expect Arce to win. I think he could be used as a parlay piece potentially. He's honestly pretty solid. He was like borderline ranked for a little bit. He had a tough last fight against Song Yadong, got iced by him, but Song Yadong, potentially future champ, gotta buy your Song Yadong stock now.
All right.
Arce is pretty tough for the division. And then I just, there's a lot of unknowns with Santos. So I just don't really want to bet this fight. He's a training partner, or at least trains at the gym in Brazil, the same one as Charles Oliveira. So, I mean, you can never count out anyone who's hanging out with DuBronx. But I know he's known for a lot of his kind of unorthodox strikes and spinning attacks and gets a lot of finishes that way. But that's been against lesser competition on the regional scene. So it's tough to say if that's going to translate to kind of like a borderline rank guy in the bantamweight division. So I would, if I was going to bet this fight, I would probably use, Arce as a parlay piece.
Kind of feels like we got a little 2-3-4 leg parlay coming together here. Nate, anything here?
Honestly, probably going to stay away from this. Just going off what Jack said, you know, Santos is training with DuBronx, you know, never count out a Brazilian jiu-jitsu. So I don't know. I guess Santos by sub. I don't know. I don't have any feel for this.
All right. That is the last fight. Nate, what, if you had, like, what are your favorite looks for this? Just give me like two or three favorite bets for this card right here.
Yeah. I'm really liking the Sterling by sub. Just give me that again. I think I'd be a fraud if I didn't take that. And then, what was that Volk number that I was like, that I mentioned?
I don't know. What, were we thinking? Was it by KO?
I'm trying to, what was that number?
I'm pulling it up right now. Yeah, great radio right here.
Great radio.
Volk, this was the round one, round two, round three, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it was round one by KO plus 800, round two plus 1,000, round three by KO plus 1,200.
Yeah, and then so I'd probably go Aljo by sub, and then if I had to go just one pure bet on this fight, I'm probably going Volk by KO TKO.
All right. Jack, what do we like?
I'm going to give some love to some lesser known names. I would say my favorite plays are probably the O'Madsen play and Dern. And then I gotta back it up. I gotta go Darian Weeks. Gotta back the favorite.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. That's my play, Darian Weeks. I love it. And, Khamzat's gonna dominant, but, while we were talking there, I put together a little parlay here. Volk, Rosenstruck, Mark Madsen, Khamzat was plus 381. I think I'm gonna be rolling with that. But I guess like as I was thinking, like the longer we kept going and like as I was thinking about it, just kind of lost a little bit of confidence. Yawn. Of course, I still think he's gonna win, but
yeah,
I'm hoping we get something competitive, something close.
I'll do that too. Yeah, if I just keep, you know, fanboying over Sterling, eventually you'll come into my side.
Yeah, that's right. That's true, honestly. By the time Saturday rolls around, it's
you'll be fine.
It's Aljo. I'm running it back around 4KO. and then I throw Pierre Rodriguez in there plus 822. And I think I'm gonna roll with those two. So
that's not a bad little parlay.
No, I'm here for it. Alrighty. Remember, follow us on Twitter. I will tweet out just kind of looks, maybe I'll parlay or something. So follow us on Twitter at the Sharpside Pod. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and rate us on Spotify, wherever you're listening. We thank you guys for listening. Any questions you want Jack or Nate you want to call them dumbasses, you want to tell them they're right, DM us, tweet at us, whatever it is. Once again, thank you guys for listening, and let's go win some money.